Hi, this is Matt Joe Gow, and you're listening to Radio Carrum, which is local community internet radio. And we were having a chat about community radio earlier and how important it is to Melbourne, how important it is to the scene here, the music scene, but also the wider community. So check out Radio Carrum. Tune in.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast, up to episode 5 now, and we're nearing the season getting started, pretty close, and this is our first episode that is in the top 5 from Metro or Country, and this week we're going to have a look at 19-year-olds that are returning, so 2023 draft crop, kind of going back in time now, but also players from last year that have got picked up, and VFL and VFLWS have been finalised, so we're going to go through those players and a few we think will stand out, possibly mid-season draft prospect players, so a lot to digest in this one, but I got a question for you, Jonty, to start off the podcast. And we've just had AFL opening round, which gave New South Wales and Queensland an early look. My question is to you, if you had to translate it into the talent league,
yep.
So 4 games, this is, let's just say boys and girls have a double header.
Yep, for all 4 games.
For all 4 games.
Yep. Okay.
Which 4 games would you choose?
And this question is off the cuff, so I haven't heard. So you've been talking about asking me a question. I haven't known what it's going to be.
This is your question.
The question answer. So the first game that comes immediately to mind is Sandy Oakley. Recruiter Central, they're the 2 strongest clubs traditionally most years, so that has to get a game, that has to get an early look in. Calder Western would be another one. I went out to a Calder Western pracky a couple of weeks ago and was really impressed with the atmosphere. They know each other really well, those boys, because they've all grown up sort of right next door to each other and have often played interleague teams together and that sort of thing. So the vibe there from the sidelines and also the spirit with which it's played leads me to put that as another one. And then I'd say Dandy Gippy, a pretty healthy rivalry. So that would be my third. They've played some really nice games over the years. And then my fourth would be GWV and Geelong. We know that GWV and Geelong's girls always start the traditional season round one. That's how they always open their season. And the boys as well have a really healthy rivalry. They always have practice against each other as well, being nearby. So they'd be the 4 that immediately come to mind. How close is that mirror yours?
Okay, so my thought here is the AFL want to give New South Wales and Queensland more exposure, right?
But yep.
For NRL reasons more than anything.
Yep.
You take opening round to the country and you play country teams against good metro teams. Now, I know this will never happen because the talent, you know, recruiters want to see certain teams against certain teams, but I don't actually think who plays who. But my idea is Murray play a Sandy. You get the country, you know, you get the local town around.
Yep.
Bendigo plays Oakley. Geelong plays a Calder. Like, country v metro, but I think it'd be cool.
We went out to a Bendigo triple header last year. There's going to be the same one this year, and it is cool. Like, the whole town gets around it. You do get mates of Bendigo Pioneers coming down and supporting. No doubt, you know, Rebels and stuff who are nearby do the same thing. So I do like how the town sort of gets around those rivalries. So I do like the route you've taken there.
There we go. That's my question. I'm gonna try to give you a question every podcast to start off, if I can. But let's get into it. We're going to start with the boys, then we'll move to the girls. So the first thing we're going to touch on is our kind of top 19-year-olds that are returning.
Yep.
Ones that we think are probably going to make an impact in the first 4 weeks. And, you know, these boys want to have their names in mid-season draft contention.
Yep.
Look, we'll start from the top of our list here. Start with Lockie Voss.
Yep.
Returns to the Sandy Dragons and had a good back end to 2023. Sort of played a bit later on in the season, had a bit of injury in the middle of the year. What's it going to take for him to get drafted? Because he's key back, so still a bit of development left with him, building a bit more size. Had a few good matchups against Nate Caddy. That's probably where we saw his best you know, one-on-one capability there. What's it going to take for him to kind of really get a good push?
Oh, he's very raw, isn't he? Yeah. So he's still got a bit of size to put on. So that gives scope for likability, I suppose, when it comes to a recruiter sense. But probably just needs to now show it for, you know, whether it's a full season or if he gets taken mid-season, just needs to string a few games together. He has been interrupted a little bit by injury last year, so hopefully he does get a clean run at it. Unfortunately, he's injured at the moment, which has hampered his pre-season. But once he gets back on the park, show that he's got that durability and play his best footy. And, yeah, we could well see him up there because I know Sandy are very high on him.
Similar player in terms of position, Cooper Trembath returns to the Eastern Rangers. We know he's training on with North Melbourne's, well, AFL list, but, you know, part of their VFL group as well this year. So he looks good moving, you know, this year's size, bit leaner, but he's tall. He's, you don't actually realize how tall he is until you're next to him, and great one-on-one. I think he's actually built that quite well. And look, you give, if he gets a good first 3 weeks under his belt, especially against the opposition he has as well, you know, he'll probably start on someone like Charlie Richardson for Oakley, most likely. You know, you get off to a good start, I think he gives himself every chance, and he looks like he's done the work in the off-season.
The only question I ask is, what do recruiters want to see of him that they haven't already seen of him? What can he do that he hasn't already done? And it's probably, you know, you said he's tall, and he has grown a little bit in the off-season, but the question was always around his height. That's something he can't control, but I think that if he can, and he does have a very good leap, it's worth touching on that, and he tested really well at the state combine for his standing vertical and his running vertical. But yeah, certainly if he can string some form together, that'd be good. You threw me a question, I'm going to throw you a question as well. So Eastern Rangers, it's worth noting, have 5 19-year-olds returning. Now, for those unaware, you're only allowed to play 3 in a talent league game, and that's just to promote the 18s and 17-year-olds. So we'll go through the 5. I'll ask you which 3 you'd play round one, and then I'm going to give the 3 that I'd play round one, but it'd be a selection headache for Lauren Moorcroft and Danny Ryan and the team down at the Eastern Rangers. The 5 that are returning are, like you say, Cooper Trembath. You've got Remy McLean, probably doesn't get the external accolades, but they love him internally. He's locked down last year. They're going to release him to play more of an intercepting role this year. You've got Illaru Smith, who Hawthorn love. He's a next generation academy prospect. He's not played at all in 2023 at talent league level, really underexposed, deserves the exposure. Recruiters want to see him. Lockie Monteith, a ruck. We know how sought after rucks are at the mid-season draft, so you do want to give him every opportunity as well. Then you've got Ry Cantwell, the player who's 2023, whose top age year was interrupted by a little bit of injury at the start of the year with a wrist, missed Vic Metro as a result, but he's suited to the modern game in terms of that athleticism. So I guess there's 5 players and you can only play 3 in the first round. Who lines up and who misses out? And they're going to rotate them, of course, throughout the first few rounds.
Tough question. Well, I think you need to give the rucks the exposure. Have to, like, given that's what the mid-season drafters seem to be accommodating for. You'd put Smith, Monteith, yes. I mean, Smith's got some opportunity for boxer already, practice matches, so already got a bit of an opportunity. That last one's hard. Cantwell, personally, I don't think we'll see a heap more from him at Coates level.
Yep.
I think Richmond VFL, here, if he presents well there, I think that's worth more than what he'd do at talent league level, personally. Yep. I don't know. I've grown a lot on Trembath, so I think it's, I still think he can show a bit more. I think he's just had a lot of growth just skill-wise. Yep. That's why I'd probably lean towards
him. So those would be your 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go the same first 2. I'd go Smith, definitely has to, just with the lack of exposure he had last year, completely out of his control. Lockie Monteith was behind Clay Tucker to start the year last year as well. Obviously went mid-season number one. And I'd go Remy McLean just because he's going to play a different role and I think he's got a little bit more to offer and just they really like him.
Oh, exciting times at Eastern. But that is, pretty
fair. It's going to be a juggle. It's going to be a real juggle.
Move to Ryanair, Calder boy on Essendon's VFL list. And he was definitely one of Calder's best last year. Just a real tough live wire mid who just likes to get his hands on the footy, gets it out well in the stoppage. Interested to see how his first couple of weeks go.
Yeah.
Especially that Calder's list is pretty deep this year when you look at top age talent. So interesting to see where his role fits and how he's going to adapt and expand to what he's already done. Your thoughts?
I think if he's going to get taken, his brother's obviously, very unlucky not to be on our list with some injuries, you know, trying to get us. Oh, I say very unlucky. No, we did take him. Collingwood did take him in the end. So he is on a list now, but yeah, has had to work tremendously hard to get there. But I think if he's going to get taken, it's going to be as a defender who's reasonable aerially, and he's shown that he can do that off half back. So distribute it well, take some marks, fly, use your athleticism, and take the game on is what I would say.
Ollie Bader returns to Oakley, Carlton's VFL list. I don't feel like we ever got to see the best with him last year. Just, I don't think he ever hit a
strap. Injuries didn't help, hamstring.
There was just no real consistency with his football in the end, but he does return to Oakley. And look, I think he does naturally well because of the talent he's got surrounded by him. He's definitely got one of the biggest advantages in terms of mid-season draft prospects. But you could also look at that and say, well, how does he separate himself from the rest?
Yeah, and that's exactly sort of where I sort of see – where that's exactly the question I sort of ask. What's his point of difference? Is it, you know, is it his run and gun off half back? Is it his cleanliness? I think he was going to play a little bit up forward last year as well. So exactly what position he plays will be interesting. Yes, we haven't seen his best, but even him at his best, does he have that point of difference? I'm not sure. He's one that, I'd love to see a bit more from, but, probably needs to convince me a little bit.
Stay on the Oakley path. I'll touch on Boston Dowling now. Get a run through Collingwood's VFL program. Right. So still very raw.
Yeah.
Like, you know, fits into that typical very raw as a ruckman, probably won't even see his heights till, you know, 21, 22.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he's up there, like in terms of prospects at the moment, mid-season wise?
Yeah, I think so. A club just needs to take – you just need one club to want to take a punt on a ruckman. We know how willing they've been in the past and say, we like what this kid's got to offer. Let's develop him for a couple of years and, who knows what he can become. He is one who, is still a couple of years away, but as are most tools from AFL level when they're drafted. So he's a wait and see, but he's one I'm really excited about, and he's got a big responsibility at Oakley this year in the ruck.
Going now to Tom Hanley.
Yeah.
And one you've seen a lot of. Gippy boy.
Yep.
Where's his best footy going to come from to elevate him and give himself a shot?
Yeah, he's one who is sort of a smaller frame, not smaller framed, but smaller in centimetres midfielder. He works really hard around the ground and gets a lot of the footy, and his contested craft is outstanding. He had a 34 disposal game last year, and that really, I guess, solidified himself as a bona fide Coast League player in between some injuries which have really hindered him. But I do think if he does get a clean run at it, that there is the potential for him to get taken and surprise a lot of people, because from the exposed form he's had, he's always played exceptionally well. And obviously being a 19-year-old, we'll see him in his preferred position of midfield. They'll do everything they can to expose him and get him drafted. He mixed Gippsland and school footy last year. He's not going to have to do that this year.
Touched on him before, but stick to a few tools now. Illawarra Smith. So he'll be at Box Hill, and like we said, he's played a few practice games. So he's got a bit of exposure at senior level.
Yep.
Very raw. But in terms of prospects who look, I would say ready built, but he's definitely got size for his age.
Yeah. So yeah, he does.
Do you think he impacts pretty quickly in this talent league season?
Yeah, I think so. So he played some games as a 16-year-old in the talent league as a double bottom major, just because of that frame that he's got. I think now he's ready to really take the game by the scruff and show people what he can do. Speaking to Easton, I think they're still a little bit non-committal about where his best position is. So whether we see him as a ruck forward, as a forward who pinch hits ruck, or even a key back, I think they're all still sort of on the table to some degree. So that'll be an interesting wait and see, but I think he's one who will get taken. I think if there's one that I had to put something on to get taken at the mid-season draft, I'd say it's Illawarra Smith.
Well, obviously, we're never going to have a good indication until mid-season really rolls around and what teams are kind of needing. But I'll move down to another tall, Taj Bond, who we saw today at Murray and Bendigo's practice it out, which we will touch on all these practice matches. So that was a bit loud in our boys' preview. Don't worry, we're not missing them. We are just going to touch on all of them at the same time. But Taj is very tall.
Yeah.
Measured, and I'm not going to give an exact, but it was at least 205 at testing.
Yep.
So he's a very tall, but he's very lean.
Yep.
Yeah, he's probably the least developed body wise in terms of rucks, but he was playing deep forward today. So,
and that's what he did for Maryborough at under 18s level last year. So he didn't get a whole, or in between, you know, what he did play for Bendigo and you know, the time he did get at Talents League level, he was mostly playing Maryborough and absolutely killed it. So, yeah, he's a goal kicker. If he's going to be someone that gets taken, it's going to be someone who can stand up, take a mark, use his height and his frame to his advantage eventually down the line once he does become that player, and kick a goal as well. So, yeah, we just need to see some signs that he can develop into that this year.
Then McGuinness returns to Sandy, so promising.
Yep.
Where do you think what's his direction this year?
I think he's one that will be very closely monitored as well throughout the year, because he's returned exceptionally. He's gotten taller in the off-season, gotten a lot stronger, can hold his own in a contest. And, yeah, like we say, we'll touch more on the pracky matches, but in a Sandy intra club that watched a couple of weeks ago, I think he kicked the first goal of the game. It was a running goal from 50. He got it on the wing, took a bounce, kicked it from 50, and he's just had some of those classy moments. He's got the strength now as well. So I think he's one that's ready to absolutely explode this year. Just another Sandy player. I'm not going to say he's a mid-season draft prospect. Been really impressed by Max Holtz. And I know I've said it to you a few times, but he's just built to play a reasonable standard of footy just for the modern game. He's a good size, good athletically. ACL last year, which has kept him out, but I just feel like he's one that is just a little bit of a wild card. Wait and see. So hopefully he goes well.
Yeah, for sure. Interested to see where I still haven't seen him. I'm still very interested to see. Jordy Payne.
Yes, Jordy Payne.
Yeah, loved what he brought last year. I'm surprised he didn't go. Like, not shocked, but like, geez, he had a really good back end. He was draftable at
massively
in those last games. He was draftable, and probably still is, to be honest.
And Collingwood and Hawthorn both showed interest and ultimately overlooked him, and serious interest as well. Other clubs showed interest as well, but Jordy Payne's athletic testing at the preseason testing for Tassie earlier this year, so a couple of weeks ago, was absolutely outstanding. His sprinting, his agility, his run and gun that you see off half back is what reflected in the testing. He, you know, top 10 finishes everywhere for him. And the other thing is he might get a run through the midfield this year, so people down in Tassie. So that will allow him to show a different side to his game. He's not just that player who can set it up off halfback with that athleticism and I guess creativity, but he can also win his own footy. So if he can do that, he'd be pretty hard to overlook, I think. I really like him as a player. He's so flashy to watch. Yeah. He does a lot for you if you're watching him.
100%. And Tassie's midfield does open up a little bit this year. Obviously, they batted pretty deep there last year.
Yep.
Last one to touch on, Jai Esler.
Yep.
Gippy boy again. Similar to Tom Hanley in terms of where's he going to do his best football in this first couple of weeks.
They're going to play him as a key defender. They would like the height probably in the ruck or elsewhere, because we know some teams are a bit bereft of height this year. But if he's going to get drafted, it's going to be as a key defender. He's played some senior footy for Turret and Delmore as well. And, yeah, another one that's really raw but worth keeping an eye on to see if he can develop and show some likeable traits. But that wraps up our mid-season draft prospects from a talent league perspective. We're now just going to run through the players who have been listed VFL and VFLW that were on Coates League lists last year, that were 18-year-olds on Coates League lists last year. So we'll start with Jack Callanan, who's gone to Central District. So the Tassie small forward's gone to the Sandful, followed his dad's club. Jake Smith has gone to Werribee, and he's one I'm really big on. I think he can have an instant impact at the level. He's been training a little bit with the midfield, I understand, and he's one who was so good and underrated in that Western Jets midfield. Had to carry a big load last year, but really interested to see where his footy goes. I thought he could have been spoken about a little bit more in draft conversations last year and wasn't really highly rated internally. So wait and see with him. Hopefully gets early games for the Bees. From a Willie perspective, Lucas Impey from Western Jets and Darcy Weeks are both listed there. Now, Darcy Weeks in particular will play some games back at the Jets as well. His concussion has sort of curtailed him throughout his top age year last year, so hopefully he gets a clean run at it. And Heath Ollington is one I know that you enjoyed watching for Tassie. He's going to play for Williamstown as well. What have you enjoyed about him? And, yeah, he was an Allies player as well last year and probably slipped a little bit late, very late, but he was certainly one that, throughout the year was one that people were tracking.
Well, it's just a good athlete in general and knew how to move really well, just like the way he kind of tactically understood the game. And I think good to see him making the move and taking on VFL level. I think he's just one who will develop really nicely. One that kind of fits any system is that size that you can kind of have. You've got a bit of versatility with him. So I think it just was good to point out him as a Tassie boy. Same with Jack Callanan. And
yeah.
Interesting to see he went to SA. That's
Yeah,
a good move for him. So love to see how he goes in the sample.
Worth stating that a lot of these Tassie boys are going to be playing TSL as well, which we're not touching on, but players like Barry Nash, who was very good last year, will play TSL, Oscar Van Dam, the same, Harry Summers as well, and there's a long list as well. So all the best to all of those 100%. Players. Will Brown from the Sandy Zebs, another one that you're high on, and we liked watching him last year, and probably the hard luck story of the 2023 draft. I think it's pretty hard to argue with that, the Vic Metro captain. What does he do at VFL level, what do you think?
Well, look, it's hard because it is hard luck. Like, he really could have got drafted and not, like, it just would have happened and no one bats an eyelid. Like, it's weird that he's at VFL level, to be honest. Like, I don't – the year he had, he progressed well. Like, it didn't happen, right? But I just think he brings real toughness into that midfield. He's got the height. If he has the capacity to have been drafted to an AFL list, I just think he'll be one of the better players at VFL level quite easily, to be honest. He's got that burst, something that'll just fit in really well, to be honest. Still disappointed for him, in all honesty.
Yeah, it's interesting you say he's got that burst. I mean, that's probably, where people question. But, I think that's unlucky.
More that it will showcase at VFL level.
Yeah.
I just think it's...
And he obviously is so good as a forward as well. He played a couple of those really good grand finals. They've also got Josh Docking, who was Vic Metro last year, the winger, the very clean winger who you really liked. Will Nish, a hard midfielder at under-18s level. Billy McGee, Gallen Birdie is probably another one that was a little bit unlucky not to get more attention externally, at least from just what he was
one
able
of the
to
hardest
produce.
Workers.
Yeah, hard worker, played good school footy, and also, really good off that. Half back line and Tarkin O'Leary, another one that you really like, who, there were some teams that were interested in him. Really good winger, runs his lanes well.
It's not even that, it's his kicking. It's one of the best kicks as a winger, I think. Just that ability to switch up the play. If you have him in your team tactically, you have so many more avenues to transition with, and I think that's so impactful. Just the way he plays, I think he'll really thrive and he's fast. He's got very good legs. Runs a good 2K, Tarkin does. Moving now to Richmond's VFL. Touched on him before. Ry Cantwell.
Yep.
Like I said, I think this is where he's able to advance his football more than he will be at under-19 level. Under-18 level. Is this where do you mirror the same thoughts?
Yeah, probably. I think he's been training off half-back from what I've heard at Richmond, which is a different position to what he's done. Previously, he's been that half forward who can hit up, take marks, and he's played a little bit on the wing as well to showcase some different things, but never off half back. So that's something a little bit different for him, but I hope he does play well at VFL level and at senior footy pretty quickly, because he's got that power that if he does keep at it, I think he's going to be one that will maintain that level of hype to some degree, if there was that little bit of hype last year. Sam Frangalis, a Dandenong Stingrays player, Berwick player as well at Richmond, as is Liam George, a clever small forward, and Harry Scott, a graduate of the Gippsland Power. Now we move to North Melbourne, who have got Charlie Harrop, a marking forward from Halebury and the Sandringham Dragons, Nick Newton down from the Murray Bush Rangers, Ben Hopkins, who will also be on Dandenong Stingrays' list, a light-bodied rebounding defender, and Cade Delarue and Cooper Lord. If you want to chat about Cade Delarue first, I know you're really high on what he did last year, really unlucky to get overlooked as well, probably similar to what we talk about with Will Brown, and then I'm going to talk about Cooper Lord.
Yeah, well, probably size didn't help, I think. Probably come crunch, like just probably a bit too small for his position, but he's really evasive, got great agility.
Hard to tackle, yeah.
Yeah, like, and when he gets going, he moves really quickly, just a great link-up player in transition, and his play has performed well in practice matches for Kangas VFL from all reports. So, I'm excited to see where he takes his football, because I think it will be hard for him to push for a mid-season draft in complete honesty, but I do think he's one at VFL level that'll be really really valued the way he plays his football.
North had a look at him from a SSP standpoint as well, obviously ended up overlooking him and getting Ty Sellers. Cooper Lord is one that I think can have an instant impact at the level because he's just that big-bodied bull that just looks like he's built for VFL footy at least. So I think he – and he's another one that's been going well at Roos VFL level. So I think he's one to watch out for. He was so good on grand final day, and that capped off a really strong season when he was at Sandy in between school footy. As well at GWS, they've got Charlie McCormick, a GWS Academy prospect who also played some games for Murray, and Ethan Williams, who's a graduate of the Sandringham Dragons program. He played his best footy off half back, but also played a couple of finals off the wing.
Should we say why they're going? Why someone like EJ's going to GWS? Because that feels like a very weird move to say someone went from Sandy to GWS.
Yeah, well, his old coach. Yeah, his old coach.
He's a big factor. A lot of them went there last year.
And I mean, all these players have different factors and different. But I feel like,
this is the strangest of them all for Sandy players to be going off to GWS.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah. So
but it's been a good move, especially the boys last year that from the 2022 class played some really good footy there. So
yeah, no, absolutely. So we'll keep a close eye on him. Matt Nelson from Frankston is one I really want to put on the radar massively. So I did a story for him for the Pakenham Gazette and absolutely blown away by him from people I've spoken to down at Frankston, several different people independently of each other. They just tell me he has been absolutely killing it for someone who's 18, 19 going into a VFL program. He works exceptionally hard. He's got three older brothers, one who's been VFL listed. He knows what hard work looks like and has that, I guess, experience to draw on in Luke, who has been listed for several years at Coburg, now at Carlton. So yeah, I think he's one. So he played as a winger, half back, even the midfield a little bit last year, but he's one just to keep your eye on because I think he could surprise a lot of people this year. Matt Nelson, remember the name. And probably unlucky not to get into Vic Country last year as well, but yeah, maybe didn't play his best footy, but there's so much there to work with, I think. So yeah, he's one. Then
Footscray.
So Lockie MacArthur, who I really like, really athletic. He'll settle down back. He'll also play for Western.
Yep.
Diesel Maloney and Charlie Naish, who's obviously the brother of Pat Naish at the Scrays. Then you've got Tobin Murray playing for Geelong. Harry Sullivan, who played some footy for the Sandringham Dragons, also the Gold Coast Academy, graduates to their VFL program. And then did you want to run through VFL list?
They've got a lot.
Yeah, they've got the most of any team.
Yeah, a lot of Calder boys, as you can imagine. Amin Naim, I loved what he did last year. Ultimately, VFL is the level where he's at, and he'll be a good VFL footballer. He's crafty forward. He knows how to get himself in good position.
Yep.
Mudi Taha, real tough inside midfield. Yep. A bit smaller, but really just knows how to win his own football. Ryan Brody, kind of similar echelon, but has a good outside game as well. Cam Nyko is one that we've had a watch on for the preseason this year because we weren't sure. There was the possibility of him returning to Eastern. Hasn't ended up, but he'll play Essendon VFL football.
There was also the possibility of him not ending up on a list at all because he went to another club, wasn't able to land a contract there. The fact that he's done his shoulder and hasn't been able to train has really hindered him. And him going just back to Hillsville, his local club, and just playing there without being listed would be belying how good a player he is. Yes, he didn't make AFL, but he's a Vic Metro player last year, so deserves the opportunity. Malik Gordon from Bendigo Pioneers is another one. He was Vic Country a couple of years ago as well. Lockie Monteith, we touched on. Alex Milan from GWV. Oscar Smart, a Vic Country representative last year. He's from Bendigo. And Charlie Bolmett from Calder round out Essendon's list.
Yeah, and even they've picked up a few ex-AFL boys as well. Jack Harris.
Jackson Haley.
Yeah, like they've recruited quite
strongly.
A lot of youth.
Heavily.
Good to see. Collingwood, two boys you're big on, and obviously you follow Collingwood, so you obviously follow a lot deeper with their VFL list and everything like that. So talk to me about start me with Jet Hartman. And if you haven't seen this interview Jonty did with Jet, check it out on the YouTube channel. Quite a good story with Jet.
Yeah, a really good story. I guess the overview of the story is that he was cut by Eastern, not seen as surplus to requirement in their defence. We know they had a really strong defence last year. Went down to Oakley, earned himself a list spot, trained his backside off, played some really strong games, including on Riley Weatherall, including on Archer Reid. And, Shrody was able to – sorry, Archer Reid, no, Zane Dersmer. Shrody was able to, match it with, some of the best players – but ultimately was overlooked and probably didn't get the recognition from recruiters or others that he deserved. But yeah, he's going to be at Collingwood VFL, played a really good first up pracky from all reports and showed his toughness. But yeah, he's one who is 189, probably been questioned with his height and his attributes don't quite match up, but he does play taller than he is, can take an contested mark and certainly can hold his own in the contest. So one to watch for. I think he makes an immediate impact. We've obviously spoken about Boston Dowling already as well. So he'll link up with Collingwood VFL as well as the Oakley Chargers. We move on to Casey. Kobe Shipp's one I'm really high on. I think he was really unlucky. I'd actually put him in that Will Brown category. Every time he played as that intercept halfback, he played really well, but he did play a little bit out of position last year at times, just through no fault of his own, I suppose, and still held a good account of himself. So yep, he's one I hope gets some early games and gets some nourishment for how good I think he has been, particularly that game against Tassie last year. That's as good a backman's game as I've seen from anyone in the talent league probably all year. Yeah, so
good there.
Yeah, on Jack Dolliver, who kicked goals for fun last year. They've also got Braden LaPlanche, the Eastern co-captain from last year, Riak Andrew, who will also link up with the Dandenong Stingrays as well, the brother of Gold Coast Mac. Christian Farinato has gone to Carlton VFL. He's one you enjoyed watching last year, a big-bodied mid.
Yeah, 100% happy he's ended up on Carlton's VFL list. Yeah, I mean, he's got just a good background. He's, you know, the basketball background is one of those.
Yeah.
But
yep.
No, a lot of people talked him up, and he definitely did deliver last year. I think he just kind of, there was no real separation between him and sort of those other top tier mids. He's just a great ball winner, and he's tough at the contest, knows how to win his own footy. I guess it was just kind of his execution at times that probably let him down, but I think at VFL level, he'll thrive quite well. And I don't know. I think there's, because mid-season isn't really sort of leaning towards midfielders, it's harder. But I do think he might just give himself a shot. He's one of those hardworking. He's a good athlete and he's proved that. So, yeah, for sure, he's one. And Tyson Schruck is the other one that you go and watch Grand Final Day, Eastern Zandy Grand Final Day last year, 40 touches, nearly won it. Well, not nearly won it for them, but he provided spark. He
plays off half back usually as well, or a lot has played.
Hard worker, but a really clean ball user as well. And one I think that, similar to Christian Farinato, will probably play similar roles and be as effective as each other.
Yeah, size is the only question I think people have with him. But yeah, I think he's got that toughness and very coachable as well from all reports. Box Hill's list, Illero Schmidt from Box Hill is, as we've talked about, obviously Hawthorn NGA. Yeah. Seb Amoroso, the small forward and Gippsland captain last year. Nathan Philactides, you could put him in that Will Brown category as well. Unlucky to be overlooked just based on the fact that, you know, he was Vic Metro as a bottom ager. The rebounding defender, Billy Hicks, is one you enjoyed watching. Blackburn local, kicked some goals, good one-on-one, probably a little bit undersized for a key forward. Josh Tovey, intercept defender, co-captain Easton, and Lane Ward, midfielder, Gippsland graduate. But we'll move on to the girls now. That wraps up the boys.
Yeah, well, move on to the girls. And the girls, a bit of a wider scope here. And when we touch on VFLW, it's hard with the girls. There's no mid-season, so most of these girls will probably just stick with VFLW, and that's the level they'll stay at. The 19-year-olds is kind of where we're going to just have a bit of a look.
Coates Talent League, 19-year-old returnees.
Yes. And where they'll end up. And I'll start at the top with Jess Thomas. So, Sandy girl who really hasn't seen much football since under 16. Been in the rehab room most of the time. But she's got the captaincy role this year, which is really exciting for her. And be interested to see how her football progresses. I think it will take time. I don't think we'll see straight away what her capabilities are, but good kick. Got pretty good height for a girl. So think has a bit of versatility with her there. Just interested to see where she's played early on. It's been a very long time, so be very interested. But she's the one that starts off for the 19-year-old girls.
Ali Spegan is one that they're going to lock down this year and I think is going to be a lot more streamlined in her focus to try and get to the next level. She was really good as a tool last year for Calder, played ruck, played as a key defender as well. So she's one to keep an eye on. Amy Karras-Brett, Oakley, also Essendon VFL. We'll touch on, where they've gone VFLW-wise. But, winger, really liked her last year. Thought she finished off the year terrifically and, always impressed me. Just a smooth mover. Taylor Soden for Gippsland is one who played for the Power at times last year, and the sister of Jazz Soden, so really competitive family, and really high achieving family as well. Georgia Templeton will return to the Stingrays. She'll be in the leadership group, and she's one who's really good in defence for them. Hayley Peck for Geelong, the ruck. Tyler Crabtree. We've both enjoyed watching Tyler Crabtree. She'll return along with Bindi to GWV Rebels. She's one that, she played Vic Country last year and, very hard at it.
Well, she was one of the best for Vic Country. If you had to give it top five, she probably would have just snuck in there with her performances.
Just snuck in, just missed out. Yeah, she's really there. Yeah.
So, interested that she did miss in the end. And I mean, obviously the draft last year was a little odd given, the
interstate expansion thing.
Yeah, so I'm very glad they're giving her a second chance.
Yeah.
Because she didn't really hit her peak until champs time.
Yeah.
And even still, she was building at that point. So I'd like to see her get rolled through the midfield a bit because she's dangerous inside forward 50 with the pressure she provides.
Yeah.
So I think just adding that extra layer to her game is probably where she gets drafted. But I think she's definitely should be in contention in 8 or 9 months' time.
Yep. Claire Lightfoot also returning to the Rebels. Ruby Murdoch, the hard runner, returning to the Stingrays. And then Northern Knights have got 3 returning as well. Isabella Caminiti, Matilda Fitzgerald, and Hannah Scott, who played really well in defence for them last season.
Well, look, can we touch on Ruby Murdoch? Because we both thought she was done hard last year, not even getting a combine invite.
Yeah, that was the best player not to get a combine invite. Well, I'm happy to say that. Yeah, from a girl's perspective.
100%. And probably better than quite a few of those girls in the combine. Like, she was such a consistent performer, and she's a good ball user. I don't see why she was overlooked,
and
to be honest.
And good defensively. Played on Pisano in that champs game. We remember that.
Closed down. I mean,
her size.
I'm not sure what she did.
Her size? She's small.
But most girls are small in the AFLW. Like, what's the average height? Is she much smaller than that? Probably not. I don't think size is an issue. Maybe in 10 years' time when, people keep getting taller. But I was really disappointed. She's one that just does her role so well. And look, if you're an AFLW recruiter, I want girls who tactically understand their role really well, because you can always develop skill, but I think it's much harder to develop that footy brain than it is skill-wise. So
very passionate about
Ruby. I'm very passionate because No, she was very hard done by, and we didn't really kind of go into that on the pod. We didn't want to say too much. But now, no, I wanted to have a good chance. She's good. Great player. So interested to see how she goes this year. But those are the 19s returning for the girls. And look, we'll keep an eye on these players, boys and girls, as the first couple of rounds happen
and
as well.
We should say it's not an exhaustive list. We're just sort of picking some of the players where we're looking forward to watching and have previously impacted could, go okay. There are some players who are new to the program that might come in and do something nice, and there are some others who are more depth players and might not play as much. So, we're not trying to get everyone there, but that gives you a pretty good indication. Now we move on to VFLW, and we'll start with Box Hill, and I'll ask you about a few of these Sandy Dragons who have gone to Box Hill and what you're expecting to see from them. So firstly, they've got Alicia Molesworth, a Gibby Power girl, Eleanor Butler, a Dandenong Stingrays girl, Michaela Lee, an Oakley Chargers graduate, but then they've got a trio of Sandy Dragons in Ash Van Ruyen, Mia Zielinski, the Key Ford, and Annabelle Bolton, their captain last year.
Yeah, well, Ash Van Ruyen was very raw last year. She was a top ager already in her first year and probably just never got it, never really got to that next level, but was always a really consistent player, great runner. So one that I think will develop really nicely. And look, you never know, in a couple of years when she really does get a lot of football under her belt, there's every potential with her.
When you say top ager in her first year, she was an overager in her first year, 19-year-old. On to Mia
Zielinski. Power forward and had very long and big kick, and had a bit of an ankle issue last year that kind of hindered. She was in, out, probably just never got into a consistent form during 2023. And she's got every chance to improve at VFLW level, one that could pop up.
Mm.
She was probably one of the best forwards in the talent league last year when she was playing. Like, she kicks at, her average is good. Like, she'll kick
two goals
or three,
per game.
Yeah, goals per game. Like, she'll kick two or three goals per game. She's pretty reliable in that sense. So, interested to see how she goes at VFLW level, especially against bigger bodies as well. And Annabelle Embleton, a really reliable kick as well. One that does the, you know, the gut running for you and works hard up and down the ground and well rewarded with a VFLW spot for sure.
Certainly. We'll move on to Carlton now. We'll start with Steph Demio, who played for the Bendigo Pioneers last year, set the game up off half back, and yeah, really smart, really creative, and really liked what she provided. Perhaps, yeah, maybe some would argue a little bit unlucky not to get on an AFLW list, but certainly showed some good attributes. Georgia Jackson as well. Isabella Parnell, a Northern Knights graduate. Calder Cannon, or former Calder Cannons player, Amy Trindade, a really good leader for them on the field. Jazz Shepherd, Evie Lee, Amelia Moore, and Paige Duffy. A really good story, Paige Duffy. I'm glad to see that Murray Bush Rangers did get someone on a VFLW list because they obviously had a tough year last year.
Did you say Georgia Jackson?
I did, yeah.
Sorry, my bad. Now, Casey, a few Gippy girls here. Want you to touch on, well, first one I want to touch on, Sienna Lane. She will return for Gippy as a 19-year-old as well. And
she's 18 and she's listed at She's 18. Yeah. Oh,
even better. Yeah. Pushing already, but tell us a bit more about her scope.
A little bit newer to the game than some of her counterparts in the Coates Talent League. Calm defender, will run through the midfield at times this year and, yeah, understands the role really well and doesn't get flustered at ground level, which is really good in a sort of chaotic situation in D50, particularly last year when they were under a fair bit of duress. I thought she stood up really well. So she's one for the Casey Demons, the one and only for the Casey Demons. VFLW-listed player who was on a Coast League list last year. Collingwood have got Ava Campbell. We both enjoyed watching Ava Campbell last year, the intercepting defender. Her last game, was it her last game or second last game? Maybe it was Easton's last win where she seemed to intercept everything that came inside 50. And Gemma Ramsdale, another intercepting defender. So a couple of their defensive stocks actually look really good on paper when you look at that in terms of what could emerge. So a couple to keep an eye on. Collingwood trade interest in Gemma Ramsdale from a AFLW perspective as well, the Dandenong Stingrays captain.
Well, door's never closed.
No, it's not.
So, yeah, I mean, Abby Campbell probably was up there, was unlucky not to get drafted.
Eastern captain as well, we should say, yeah.
Just probably her kicking was the only thing that let her down in the end, but intercepting was terrific. So, yeah, door's not shut with these two, I feel like. You can't really write these two off, and I'm sure they won't be finished either. Darabin.
Have got Chloe Kotagoda as well. She's listed with the Northern Knights. Essendon have got Amy Karras-Brett, as we touched on, Tyler Crabtree, Ava Jordan, the small forward from Northern, and Ruby Murdoch. Geelong have got Joe Sunderland. We liked Joe Sunderland last year. I certainly liked Joe Sunderland last year. She's one who clears defensive 50 and, yeah, is very good for a small defender. Plays that position really well. Kate Martin and Sophie Maher, North Melbourne, Yasmin Welsford. Port Melbourne have got Bianca Lyon, really athletically gifted key position player who developed quickly last year, was played in a few different positions, the Dandenong Stingrays player, but one to keep a really close eye on. And I think I don't want to say criticism, but the objection to her last year is probably her rawness. Does she need another season of exposure? She also battled a little bit of injury late in the year, so hopefully that extra season of exposure, we might see her talked about in a few months' time later in the year. And then the Southern Saints have got Abby Tregarlis, Ali Penry, the Gippy captain last year, and Maya Stobie from the Oakley Chargers.
Apologise if we got slow here. It was 38 degrees when we got in this room, and I feel like we've both slowly just got very
acclimatised. Yep. Well, the air conditioning's doing its job as well.
I'm looking at I think it's at 29 degrees still in this room. So we're recording this on the Sunday when it was like 38 degrees when you listened to this. So got through it. But no, thank you all for listening. Bit of a preview. So next Wednesday, well, this is the podcast, sorry. Next podcast will be the boys' preview. On the Monday following that will be the girls' preview, and we don't want to do the girls' preview with the boys' round one review. The girls' preview will be on the Monday, and then the Wednesday will be the boys' round one review, where we will see quite a lot of footy in this first 3 weeks. As far as we're concerned, we will see pretty much every single team play in the first 3 weeks, which is definitely our hope, and yet a good scope. So make sure to tune in next week. We will be asking questions on our Instagram. If you have a question to send in for either the boys or girls season preview, it's not going to be going kind of through who are the good players. It's more just looking at the teams collectively, what we've seen in preseason.
Yep.
And kind of what you should look out for in the first couple of rounds. So if you've got a question, make sure to send it through to us and we'll definitely dedicate a segment to answering questions. So thank you all for watching. Make sure to like and subscribe. Appreciate all the support so far. Go check out our channel for a lot of in-depth player interviews and fun content as well. And until then, we will see you in the next episode.
Hi, my name's Paul Kennedy, and I'm a sport reporter for the ABC. And when I'm not listening to the ABC, I listen to Radio Karam. Tune in and enjoy.
Oi, 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 oi.
IGA, oi. It's shopping night. Oi. IGA, oi. Where the price oi. Is right. Oi. Seaford North, oi. IGA, oi. For your groceries oi. And liquor. Oi. IGA oi. Express, oi. There's nothing oi. Quicker.